This is Pop Health Week on Healthcare Now Radio. I'm Greg Masters, your co-host and executive producer. Joining me in the virtual studio is co-founder and principal co-host Fred Goldstein. Fred also wears the hat of president at Accountable Health, LLC. Pop Health Week is your go-to platform for peer-to-peer conversation with industry leaders, innovators, and ecosystem stakeholders, including payers, providers, patients, vendors, and the regulatory communities. We come together to swap the best ideas and strategies in population health management. Connect with us via www.popupstudio.productions or drop me a direct message on Twitter via @GregMastersMPH, and that's Greg with two G's. You can also reach Fred direct via Twitter @FSGoldstein or www.accountablehealthllc.com. On this episode of Pop Health Week, we feature Adam Kautzner, PharmD, the president of Express Scripts and Evernorth Care Management. These combined entities offer best-in-class benefit solutions spanning pharmacy, medical, and care services for health plans, employers, and government programs. Adam is also a member of the enterprise leadership team of the Cigna Group. And with no further delay, Fred, the mic is yours.
Thanks so much, Greg and Adam. Welcome to Pop Health Week.
Thanks for having me, Fred. Happy to be here.
Yeah, pleasure to get you on. Fascinating area you work in with Express Scripts. Why don't we start, give us a little sense of your background?
Sure, happy to do that. So I'm currently president of Evernorth Care Management as well as Express Scripts. So I'm a pharmacist by background. I have been in the industry for over 20 years. I've been within pharmacy benefit services space with Express Scripts now for about 16 years, and spent earlier in my career as a nuclear pharmacist, and that's probably for a whole nother podcast, but my background within pharmacy benefit services has really run the gamut from a lot of solution product development, innovation work that we've been able to bring to the space to quite a bit of contracting, whether contracting with pharmacies or with pharmaceutical manufacturers. And then for the last year plus, had the opportunity to assume the role of president of Express Scripts, where I lead all of our account management and contracting functions, as well as our product and solutions for what is today the nation's largest pharmacy benefit service company. We service today about 120 million Americans through a variety of different ways within the pharmacy benefit space.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, pharmacy benefits are a critical area. What are some of the key things that people are focusing on now as it gets, particularly self-insured employers, but others are now looking into the pharmacy services and trying to figure out ways to help improve that for their employees, et cetera?
Sure. It's a great question. We today, as many of you know, pharmacy benefits are the most utilized benefit. Patients are taking more drugs today than they ever have before, and they're doing this to get and stay healthy. And it's our job to ensure that patients have access to the drugs that they need and that those medications are affordable for them. Now, today, some major components that are top of mind for our employers are one, the sheer cost of the products and the expansion in total cost that employers and health plans are spending within pharmacy as a percentage of their total health plan spend as that continues to grow. This space is over a $400 billion space, and it's getting larger each and every year. Specifically, where employers are really focused right now are in specialty medications. So there are numerous new specialty medications. The cost of those drugs continues to expand. And so how we continue to pay for that is top of mind. Secondly, the large opportunity, again, within the specialty space around biosimilar products. So think of generic drugs, but for specialty drugs, the new biosimilars that are starting to come to market, notably around the largest drug in America, Humira. And then lastly is certainly the newest class, which has become also a bit of a mainstream or pop culture type of phenomenon over the last year, which are the GLP-1 drugs and the effect that they're having around reduction in weight loss, historically being used for diabetes, more and more patients using them for weight loss, but they're also products that are showing some effectiveness around cardiovascular disease as well. And so as they expand those indications, the use and the spend of those products is unprecedented at this point, given the increase in trend. And so that certainly is also top of mind for employers today.
And how are you looking at those areas as you try to meet the needs of the employers with those, either with the biosimilars or even things like the new gene therapies coming out and stuff like that? What sort of a role do you play for that employer to assist them?
Sure. So for the gene therapy products, which are all relatively new today to the market, although there are about 1,000 gene and cell therapies that are in the pipeline, there may only be around 20 of those products that are available today on the market, but many more are going to continue to come. And the prices of these products continues to grow, and it's significant since many of these gene therapy products are cures in many cases if they are for the appropriate patient and they work the way that they're supposed to. But they're millions of dollars. Many are $2 or $3 million, as we've seen in sickle cell more recently, but we just had a recent product that hit the market at over $4 million. That's the most expensive product to ever hit the market. And I think that's going to continue to increase. And so you're affecting a very small number of patients. So our ability to, one, assess these products, ensure that the right patients are getting the right drugs in the right way so that they can provide the most benefit, that we're working with physicians to ensure that these patients meet that proper criteria. And then from a patient perspective, when we're able to administer these types of products or dispense these products from our specialty pharmacy, our ability to ensure that the patients know what to expect, they're taking these products appropriately, they're staying on the drug, and they're able to get the full benefit given the very high cost of those types of gene therapies. We also work on the affordability side. So we have a program called Embark, which is a program that is a rather novel solution around benefit protection that actually for small employers, they can pay a small fee on a per member per month basis and ensure access to certain products from a gene therapy perspective. And they don't effectively break their budget by doing that. So it pools a lot of smaller employers together so that they can share in that type of risk and still offer the benefit to their patients and have sustainable benefits long term, given the high cost of some of these drugs for a very small number of patients. On the biosimilar side, those are products where we are working today with specifically physicians to help to educate them on the benefits of biosimilars and the cost savings to employers and to patients to improve affordability and access of these specialty medications. Because biosimilars effectively are generic drugs for specialty medications. They're a bit more complex to create, and that's why they're called biosimilars. But effectively, these products, as the FDA has deemed, many of these products are automatically interchangeable, meaning in some cases you don't even need a new prescription. Just like a generic drug your doctor may write for the brand, you receive the generic today. It took us a while for adoption of generic drugs to occur throughout the last couple of decades, but we know today 9 out of 10 drugs that are dispensed are generic medications. We would expect that will be the case as well within the biosimilar space for specialty medications, and that is happening right now. We are right at the beginning of that with notably Humira, as I mentioned before, as the largest product in America that now will have biosimilars. They will likely have interchangeable biosimilars here in the coming months this year, which is very exciting. It's going to provide a reduction in cost savings, but also improved affordability for patients. But there's some education that has to occur with these products because there are 11 biosimilars today that may hit the market for Humira. They're all going to have different names. They may all have slightly different administration components for an injectable medication. And so our job to educate physicians employers and patients on these products, make sure that we're selecting the right products that provide a strong amount from a supply chain perspective so they can deliver the medication, that there is sufficient supply. These drugs are safe, they're effective, they're going to work just like the branded product, and that they're going to be very affordable to reduce the cost on these medications overall from a net cost perspective for patients and for employers. So a lot happening in this specialty space that's really exciting, both from cell and gene therapy and the advancement and innovation there, but that's going to come at a high cost. And so biosimilars coming in at this point is actually a really good thing because it's going to reduce net cost significantly to help to then pay for some of the additional innovation that's happening as well in the market.
And that's really a fascinating discussion. And I'd like to get back to the Embark program for just a second, because it sounds like what you've done is created sort of like an insurance package for small employers to cover gene therapy. And I remember running some numbers that if you had a small employer group of 385 individuals in your plan, a $2.5 million, you know, gene therapy would essentially take your whole plan's annual budget. And so is this essentially you've created a way to protect small employers from that?
Yes. Yeah, so thanks for the question on Embark. Embark is the Evernorth Embark Benefit Protection Program has mm-hmm. been in existence now for several years. I do want to be clear, it is not an insurance product, although it does provide an ability of pooling some risk. For many of our employers, we have over 6 million patients that are effectively enrolled in this solution today. And yes, we've been able to provide over $100 million of value to the employers and patients that are enrolled in this program. And so it will ensure access to the 6 gene therapies that we have covered within the solution today. We expect to continue to increase the number of products that are included within the program. And so, yes, it ensures that for many small employers or mid-sized employers where the cost of one of these multi-million-dollar products could dwarf what they spend on drugs in totality in a given year, this ensures that they can continue to preserve access for their patients and offer a comprehensive benefit. And so this was a solution that we recognized the market was going to need, especially as gene therapies continue to expand and the number of products come to market. We're going to need solutions like this in place to preserve access, given that these are, in many cases now, unfortunately, multi-million-dollar products. And so we're also working with the manufacturers on that as well. How do we bring down these costs and lower these costs to make sure they're affordable and preserve the sustainability of offering a prescription drug benefit for these gene therapies going forward as well?
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks for explaining. It's not an insurance product. Appreciate that. And also, are you looking or seeing more individuals or organizations interested in outcomes-based contracting associated with these various high-cost products and seeing that implemented?
So we are seeing a lot of interest around outcomes-based contracting and how we're able to get there for gene therapies, especially given the initial outlay that is in the millions of dollars. The complexity exists around patients that move from one benefit to another. That happens quite often in many cases, and so being able to track those patients across as they change benefits or change employers during the course of a therapy or time span. So we are able to do outcomes-based today in a 1 to 2 year time frame. Mm-hmm. Multiple years is still a challenge for healthcare overall, given the change of patients just moving from one benefit to another. And so our ability to do that, although we think it's the right place to go, we're going to continue to work towards that with manufacturers, which they're open to as well. In many cases, we have a long way to go within U.S. healthcare to be able to get to true outcomes based. But it is an area that I'm passionate about. I know our organization is as well. This is where we need to go. So we're all accountable for ensuring that patients are able to, one, receive the benefit from these expensive medications in some cases, but two, that We're then accountable from a care perspective to help ensure that they get the drugs they need, they're able to stay on those products, and then be able to live the healthier lives. And we're accountable for that as a healthcare organization as well.
That's really good to hear, because it's, as you point out, it's a really complex problem once you start going multi-year with that, and people may have changed employers, plans, whatever, and how do you then track all that and figure out the benefits, et cetera, and who got what or had to pay for what. So, and we're really glad to hear you're working on that. It's an interesting area. Are there other things that Express Scripts is looking to do around access and affordability for patients?
Yes, absolutely. So we are a leader today in value-based care. We have a suite of solutions under our Safeguard Rx portfolio that's been in existence for over a decade now. This is a portfolio of solutions that started with our ability within hepatitis C back in 2014 when there were cures, but the drugs were really expensive. We created a solution that expanded access for patients, but at the same time dramatically lowered the cost. And we provided outcomes that actually were better than what you see in a clinical trial. For those of you that are in tune on healthcare, you know that in practice, we rarely are able to achieve results that mimic a clinical trial. We were actually able to get better results overall. So building off of that, we now have 11 different solutions within our value-based care. So that's one area that we provide unique value back to employers through that solution. And we've been able to now help our clients save over $6 billion annually through that solution. In addition to that, we certainly are focused on patient affordability. And so we created our patient assurance program a few years ago. It was primarily focused on diabetes to start with. We've been able to expand it to some other chronic conditions as well. With that solution, we capped the patient out of pocket at $25 for a 30-day supply of insulin and now other diabetes and cardiovascular medications to ensure that patients could get access to the drugs that they need. The cost of products, as I've continued to talk a little bit about, and I don't want to be a broken record to the audience on this, but it's important. In 2023 alone, the median list price of new drugs that came to the market was $300,000 a year. That's unsustainable. And so having a pharmacy benefit service organization that can step forward for employers and provide them with solutions where they can be improved affordability, and that we can improve access for patients and ensure access for patients. They have the predictability at the pharmacy counter, lower out-of-pocket costs like our patient assurance program. Those are real solutions for today that we're able to build out quickly, but it's very important and it's real. We've all been at the pharmacy counter and been told our medications might be hundreds of dollars, and that's an unfortunate circumstance that we work every single day to improve and reduce how that happens to ensure patients are able to get to the drugs that they need and they understand their benefits. And we're able to educate both physicians and patients on that so that we can lower the overall costs for patients and employers alike, but still produce those really strong clinical care outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, the healthcare system, as we all know, is complex, especially for people who aren't in it, and we have the issues of health literacy, ability to get access, et cetera. What are some of the things you're trying to do to streamline that whole patient experience?
Sure. Our focus is on the ability to help patients be able to, as you point out, one, understand their benefits so that patients can make better decisions overall and that they know what the model is for whatever plan is that they're currently in, and they can avoid those surprises at the pharmacy counter. So we're helping them better understand it through one, digital solutions, whether it's the digital app that we have. We also have additional websites and additional tools around real-time prescription benefits. So patients can actually go in, put their drug in, understand what the drug is that they were prescribed the cost, but other alternatives that might actually be a lower cost. So that is one key component. We're also able to help them be able to choose which pharmacy might have those drugs at a lower overall cost. And their ability then to make a decision of whether it's home delivery or it's retail, but finding the right vehicle or pharmacy to be able to deliver that product at the lowest overall cost is another major component. There's also more and more that we're continuing to do from a supply chain perspective, though, of continuing to negotiate to lower the cost from a pharmacy perspective, but also the cost of the products by lowering net costs by negotiations that we're able to do with pharmaceutical manufacturers. Them competing against one another helps to lower those costs overall, both for employers, but also for patients. And so employers that can realize savings, much of the savings then goes back to lower premiums for patients as well. So there are multiple different ways that we are working to be able to do that. Lastly, I would just highlight our continued work around generic medications and biosimilar medications and how we continue to educate patients as well of, in many cases, there are some lower cost alternatives. They're going to provide just the same effective patient outcomes that you would get from a higher cost branded product, but you're going to see some much lower costs in many cases from a patient perspective that still gets the same result.
Mm-hmm. I know you had talked earlier also, obviously it's critical to provide the information to the individuals, the patients taking it or their family members or caregivers. You also talked about educating the physicians and the prescribers on various products, in particular biosimilars. And I know, I guess you probably picked up on it, I've done some looking into this area and some work with some physicians and stuff. There's this issue of not quite understanding completely yet what a biosimilar versus the innovative biologic that was first came out is, and the ability to then use a less expensive alternative medication. Are you, I guess you must be working on that as well in terms of educating providers?
Yes, we are. From a biosimilar perspective, biosimilars are relatively new, but they're not brand new. Right. So within the insulin space, we were one of the first organization to actually take a biosimilar product that was already automatically substitutable or interchangeable and put that on as a preferred product. And we actually disadvantaged a more expensive, higher cost insulin Lantus at the time to move patients to the lower cost biosimilar product Semglee. We had great success in doing that, but there was certainly an educational component of it, of helping patients to understand that Semglee effectively is exactly the same product as the Lantus drug. It's going to provide the same result, but physician and patient education and awareness actually, even from a physician standpoint, was relatively low when we started that. That has dramatically improved to where now Semglee is the most utilized long-acting insulin on our largest drug formulary. We expect the same thing to happen on the biosimilar space as well, that it'll take a bit of education, but since many of these drugs are going to be interchangeable, their ability then for us to educate physicians and patients will happen relatively quickly, given the amount of competition that's going to exist in this space, and that both from a physician perspective and a pharmacist perspective, then being educated, understanding it, being able to help the patient then understand this change. And then once patients are able to use the product and adopt to using biosimilar products, we expect they will have great success just as we have with generic medications today.
Mm-hmm. You've obviously been at this a long time, running, as you said, the largest organization in the space. What do you see today? What excites you going forward as you continue to work on new things and innovate at Express Scripts?
There are a number of different really exciting spaces. One is continued enhancement of the digital tools so that we can put more information in the patient's phone in many cases, as most of us use our phones to navigate much of our lives today, so that you can better understand your benefits, you can better understand and communicate with us as well as your pharmacy and your physician, and us to be able to better aggregate that information into one specific tool so that you can get all the information that you need in one place and that it's all there in one easy to access spot, and that you start to aggregate that information, your medical, your pharmacy, those pieces are all coming together so that not only are we only, we're not looking just at a patient from a pharmacy perspective or a medical perspective, but it's a holistic view of a patient. So as a caregiver within the pharmacy space, we're able to then look at you more holistically. For many patients today, we do have medical data, and so we're able to make outreaches on different interventions, coordinate those outreaches with physicians. Last year, we closed over 5 million patient gaps in care alone. We expect to be able to do that again this year. And so it's our ability to be able to understand what's happening with a patient from that holistic perspective, make those real changes. A lot of times it's small adjustments that might need to be made, and that's going to provide patients with much better outcomes overall and reduce the overall medical cost that the patients are going to have. So that's one terrific opportunity. Secondly, although I talk a lot about the cost of medications, which isn't a fun thing to do, the innovation that we're continuing to provide within the market and how we continue to preserve access for that is really exciting. Manufacturers are continuing to produce some outstanding new medications, new classes of medications. We talked a little bit about the GLP-1s as one of those classes. Oncology is another class of medications where patients today have access to medications that a decade ago they didn't. And so patients are living much longer because of the innovations we've made within oncology. I myself am a cancer survivor. I had stage 4 melanoma a decade ago in my 30s. I was lucky enough to be in a clinical trial. So I can say pharmaceutical innovation saved my life as well. And so to be in this space, be able to help patients and understand as well how to take patients out of the middle and be able to actually provide better overall care for patients, navigate this system is a personal mission for me as well as we go forward. So a lot in this space to be excited about, but we also have a lot of work to do.
Well, that's a fantastic way to end the show, and so glad to hear about the experience you've lived through and obviously doing much better with. So thank you so much for joining us, Adam.
Thanks for having me, Fred. Had a lot of fun. Hopefully your listeners did as well.
Thanks again, and back to you, Greg.
And there you have it, folks. That is a wrap on today's broadcast. We want to extend appreciation to our worldwide listeners for tuning in and our deep gratitude to Adam Kautzner, PharmD, the president of Express Scripts and Evernorth Care Management, for sharing his insights today. Do follow his work on the web via www.express-scripts.com and on Twitter via @ExpressScripts. If you find our Pop Health Week content as engaging as we do, please show your support. Give us a thumbs up on your favorite podcast platform, share it with your colleagues, and do subscribe to ensure you don't miss out on future episodes. Remember, we are live on Healthcare Now Radio weekdays at 5:30 a.m., 1:30 p.m., 9:30 p.m. Eastern. And for our friends on the West Coast, that's 2:30 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and 6:30 p.m. Pacific. From all of us at Pop Health Week, Fred Goldstein and yours truly, Greg Masters, we urge you to stay safe and stay tuned. Until next time, fare thee well.